Thank you for joining.
I am wonderful. It's an honor to be here, sister.
I'm so excited to learn more about you and your journey. I'm familiar with your work. I know we met on Clubhouse a few times, but I'm curious to know how you got started in your work with ancestral healing and self-love and purpose and your background and all of that good stuff.
I would love to share. So, like a lot of us, I was born and to a family that had some trauma that's been passed on for generations. Like we don't understand and downloaded all the stuff. And I entered my life kind of unconsciously choosing things that didn't feel good. So for me, it was relationships, and I was in a long relationship, a long marriage that I used to cry every week. What we would call it now is narcissism. But I look at that not as like this big bad, he was a narcissist. Is that when someone has the characteristics of narcissistic personality disorder, any kind of stuff, right? Any kind of mental health, for me, it's a legacy of ancestral trauma that was on his side. And if I have attracted it in my life, that means it was in my side. So I was kind of unconscious and I was going through this stuff, and I got in so much pain and emotional pain. And for a long time, like I just shoved it down. And I could feel for years that I was supposed to start a spiritual journey. But when you're something's calling you, a lot of times I was comfortable in the pain. Like that's what I knew. My mother had a lot of challenges as herself. So I stayed in my comfort zone until I got to the point where it was so painful. And what actually did it for me was my daughter was 9, and for a lot of times, long time, I stayed because I'm like, I want to create something, healthy. I don't want to be a single mom. I don't want like. And she said to me one day, she said, "Mom, you've been really crabby lately." I think I raised my voice at her, and I said, "I have to do this for my daughter." So at that time, I didn't love myself enough to do that journey for myself. But when I saw how I was passing on the patterns to my daughter, because my
Wow.
mother had a lot of anger and she yelled a lot, I was like, I have to start. So I started doing something called Shaktinam Yoga, which is like Kundalini yoga. So I learned breath work and mantras. And have you ever seen the Tina Turner movie, What's Love Got to Do with It?
I believe so.
Tina, you'll see Tina Turner chanting, right? So for her, she chose Buddhism, but it doesn't really matter what you choose, is that actually chanting, which is sound meditation, is really healing. It helps change the subconscious patterns. For a lot of us that have very active minds, it actually calms the mind down so that we can get to the meditative state. For a lot of us, it helps you get to the meditative state like in 2 miles instead of 10 miles. So I started doing that. And then, so I started my healing journey, left my marriage and continued diving deep. But the real thing that really hit was a few years ago, my mother. And I had a challenging relationship with my mother, like I always have. And she went into the doctor for a stomach ache, and we thought she was in perfect health. Her parents lived into the mid 90s, no concerns about, like, she never had health problems. And my mother was never sickly. And she was diagnosed with 4-stage pancreatic cancer and given 2 to 3 months left to live. And she died 35 days later. And that was like, boom. After she died, my father started telling me some of the truth about what was going on between her and her dad. And then I started seeing visions. And then my mother actually started visiting me and coming to me. And I understood that my mother had been abused physically, sexually, and emotionally. I think, I'm not sure about the sexual came from, but a lot of it was from my grandfather, who I loved my abuelito. And then I was shown some visions in my lineage. So my mother is Mexican, so I was shown visions in my indigenous side, on my Mexican side. And I was shown that I come from people that were healers, that were intuitive, that were, very what we would call shaman nawals. I was shown that I come from this lineage that was very happy and centered and powerful. And then I was shown horrific trauma about 7 generations ago. And I was shown how that trauma went from woman to woman to woman to woman, and it showed up in the way that she wasn't able to be there the way I needed her and love her the way love me the way I needed her. And it showed up in what killed her. And also it showed up, you know, I was shown also that my grandmother had been in a relationship that was very similar to mine. And I had no idea, right? So because when you're pregnant, when a woman's pregnant with the child, whatever trauma she's going through and whatever she's shoved down, especially, it gets passed on to the unborn child. And if the unborn child's a girl, it gets passed on to the egg. So this is how the grandchildren get. But beyond that, they've done extensive studies on trauma, especially when it's not dealt with, when it's just shoved down. And a lot of times our ancestors, they did not know how to, they didn't have the luxury. Like they had to survive when these things were happening, like literally like, okay, this horrific thing happened, but I have to live and the rest of my children need to live. And like this kind of like survival things, right? So they didn't have a luxury to even handle it. So it was too much. Like they had to disassociate, they had to shove it down, and it's gotten shoved down for generation to generation. So a lot of us, you can tell in the repeating patterns in your life, right? You keep repeating the same relationship, you keep meeting the same mate over and over again, you still struggle with the same addictions over and over again, you have the same limiting beliefs, you have the same money struggles. You can look in your family, like what's repeating in your family? Is it some type of addiction? Is it toxic relationships? Is it drama? Is it what diseases are repeating in your family? Is it diabetes? Is it heart attacks? Is it breast cancer? These are all indications when they keep repeating, they are stuff that's not been resolved. That's why it's one of the signs that it's ancestral, because it just keeps repeating and repeating. It's unhealed trauma, right? So it's become one of my passions to assist others with it. So when I was shown this horrific trauma, it was so awful. And the ancestor that went, like she disassociated, she couldn't, I felt that she disassociated. And I was actually given, I call it the holy honor to feel it. So I had to feel it for her. And it was the worst I've ever felt in my body and in my emotions in my entire life. It was just the most horrific. And when I was experiencing it, I was told, Spirit told me, this is what I call God. Spirit told me, you are being shown this because most of the people that come to you in your lifetime, this is what's in their lineage, but they don't need to see it. And they can't, a lot of people can't, they don't need to experience all this that you're, so you're, and so that's what I know. When people come, and no matter what culture, you know, for example, the trauma that I saw, it was the Spaniard came and did this horrific thing. But if you look back further enough, what happened in Spain, you're going to find, but it would have been back maybe hundreds, maybe even thousands, like long before that, you're going to find that the powers that be came in and did horrific things to the people. And what happens with unhealed trauma is eventually people start turning hard and their hearts get cold. And then you're able to do things to others because of the trauma, you know, hurt people, mm-hmm. right? We see that in a microcosm when you see, you know, dysfunctional or abusive relationships, it's because of that. So my feeling is that we're all healing. We are all healing lineages of trauma. And I feel like this is the Toltec, which is some of my ancestral lineage from Mexico, talked about the time of the fifth sun, and the time of the fifth sun was thousands of years of injustice, which we have just left that time. And we've entered the time of the sixth sun. And they said the time of the sixth sun was when humans would connect with their heart, would realign with themselves, would realign with each other, and would realign with the earth and all of her beautiful beings on the earth. And this is the transition. We actually have just, we're in this transition. So as we transition, what it means for us is it's going to look kind of chaotic, right? It's going to look like within yourself. What's going on? Like, is it the depression, right? Like, is a depression coming up? Because depression is oftentimes a sign of unhealed trauma that's been disassociated from, it's been shoved down. And sometimes it's not even your own stuff, right? Is it the anxiety that's rising up? The generations, especially in your generation, so much anxiety, right? The anger, the unsolved grief, all the stuff that's coming up, like just not feeling good. Like what? I think if you take most humans right now and you sat them down one-on-one and someone's really honest with you, the people are going to start crying and say, oh my God, like, this is, what is going on? Like this, like, because what's coming is the stuff that has not been resolved in your lineage and is coming up. And a lot of us, some of us are, I call them the generational pattern breakers. So the generational pattern breaker is somebody that I believe is the person in the family that's got a really loving, strong heart, that has a heart strong enough to do this work. So it's almost like a lot of the trauma is portaling through that particular person, you know, even though everybody in the family is getting has to do their work. So that can be a challenge, because you're just like, but if you can remember that the stuff, a lot of the stuff is not your stuff. Your depression might not be your depression. It might be your great grandmother's or great grandfather's depression. Your sadness might not be your sadness. Your anger, your grief, your addictions. Addictions are about, this is, you know, second chakra stuff. Addictions is about emotions. If you have addiction, and we can talk about addiction, like so many addictions. I mean, the obvious one is, you know, drugs and alcohol, right? But food addictions, right? Sex addictions. Let's talk about drama addictions. Oh, yeah. I mean, I was addicted to the drama of this dysfunctional relationship. It was always this, right? There is so many different kind of, you know, addictions. I think a lot of women suffer from addictions to doing. Like we do. Addictions to social media, right? But all this stuff is keeping us from dealing with emotions, because it can be scary. And this is why, you know, I talk about the medicine wheel. The medicine wheel is a kind of a guide that a lot of indigenous cultures have. And then I have to say about indigenous cultures, you know, we say, oh, you know, like in my bloodline, I have some indigenous from Mexico, but all of us originally are indigenous peoples. We originally come from people that were connected to the land, that were connected to the earth, that were connected to our hearts. You know, some of the things that we think about indigenous cultures, some of our cultures have been away from them for a long time, but originally we come from that. But in indigenous culture, they talk about the medicine wheel, and it's kind of a journey through the road of life in the South. So this is coming, different cultures will speak of different archetypes, and it will be the archetypes usually. You know, if there's an animal that is, you know, in North America, you know, like the Lakota might say the, you know, the buffalo, because the buffalo were prevalent, but this is coming from Central America, where my lineage is from. And so in the South, it's the serpent. This is where you shed your skin, your old stories. The serpent sheds its skin. Have you ever seen a serpent, a snake skin? You don't see like little pieces. They don't shed little pieces at a time. They just shed the whole skin, right? So this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to shed all of our stories, and not like in a whole 50 years of therapy, right? Or shed them five generations down because we're not ready to shed. Like they're wanting to be shed. So we shed the old stories the way the serpent sheds its skin. And then in the West, it's jaguar, and I always think of there's golden jaguar, black jaguar. I always see black jaguar. I see this black panther like in the dark jungle at night. Like we're scared to go into that dark jungle, all of us. The cave that we're afraid to enter holds our greatest treasure, right? So we're afraid because there might be some grief there. There might be some emotions we don't want to feel. There might be some family secrets. There might be some secrets we're holding back. Like this is where you go into the shadow, into the hard stuff. And this is where you go into the dark night of the soul. Like you go into the dark. And a lot of times we think, I don't want to go there because I'm going to be stuck. Like what? And it's scary. So you avoid it. But until you avoid it, you can't get to the next thing. Right. And, you know, after my mother died, my father, who was very Christian, talked about, you know, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And he said, and my father was just devastated when my mother died. Like, he had met her when he was 19 years old. That was the love of his life. And like, it was just, he was like, it was this darkness for him when she passed so unexpectedly. And he said, you walk through the shadow of the valley of death. He says, you walk through it. You do not stay there. It doesn't stay. You stay in the valley of the shadow of death. And you walk through it. And then it's time to leave it. And, you know, and my father did, he actually opened, he went through the great, my father went through such, he faced the grief. He was so like, it was felt it all. It was so deep for him. And a couple of years later, because he walked through it, he allowed himself to grieve and to feel and to go to the depths of the sad. Like, it was so hard for him, but it opened him up to meet. He met another woman that he's happily married now, to a woman that is just, they are just, they're, you know, like, it's another soulmate that he's met. And, you know, they're in their 70s and they're out kayaking together and going on little adventures together, and like, just, it's amazing, right? But you have to walk through that. So that's where you die and you transform into the butterfly. And then in the north is colibri, and colibri is the hummingbird. And the hummingbird is, hummingbird teaches us that we, something's calling us, right? And just like the hummingbird, like, something's calling us. They go from Brazil all the way to North America. How do they do that with their little tiny selves, right? And if you've ever seen a hummingbird, the hummingbirds only drink from the best nectar, the best flowers. You don't ever see, have you ever seen a hummingbird in the trash? They don't go to the trash and get the stuff. So this is what it's teaching us, is that something's calling you. Go on your journey, follow your bliss, and only do what makes you feel joyful. You follow what makes you feel joyful. And a lot of times we follow, like, something's calling us and we're like, that would be wonderful. And then our mind says, no, but you have to do this. Like, I'm not going to make it financially if I don't do this. Or, you know, my family's not going to approve. Or, like, I'm scared of this. There's all these reasons we don't. But you're to follow because something's calling you. You follow your bliss. And this is also where the ancestors come in to assist you, to guide you, to be with you. Mm-hmm. And then when we get to the east we come with ego. And ego teaches us to dream a new world into being. So what happens if we don't journey through the shedding of the old stories and going through the dark night of the soul and going to the epic journey? If you don't get through all that stuff, what happens when you get to the east is you just have your fate. You just have this life that this happened. And I mean, you see it all around, right? You know, I'm 54 years old, and you come on, younger generation, you see it with the older generations and those that are my generation. Look around. And it might be something that you have too. Like, how many people that are older, like, do you see that are just vibrant and happy and alive and are in these marriages? You're like, oh, I want a marriage like that. I want to be like that. Well, because they haven't gone through the shedding of the old stories, the dark night of the soul, following what really calls to them. They haven't done that. So you, it's just
get process that.
Yes, you get through this life. But if you do that, if you do that journey and go through all those stuff, you get the reward of dreaming a new world into being for yourself. And, you know, this is what I like. Yes, it's been challenging to go through the healing journey, but, like, I am so much happier than I was in my 20s and in my 30s. And if you see even pictures of me, people are shocked. They're like, I didn't take care of myself. I didn't do my hair. Like, you can tell in my eyes, I was miserable. Right now, like, you see me, like, I go to the top of the mountains. I take my shoes off and I'm dancing. It's like, I'm dreaming a new world into being, and I'm still doing it. Like, it keeps getting better. And yes, I still have to go through these things. And sometimes it's hard. And sometimes I'm like, can you just leave me alone with all this healing and all this transforming? Yeah. But the reward is, here I get to dream a new world into being. And the world that feels amazing to me is the world that impacts others and helps them dream a new world into being. Like, for example, one of the things that was my calling, I heard a voice about 8 years ago, and I just started my healing journey. I just was in the beginning, and it said, your part of your life purpose is to inspire people on social media with videos and photos. And at that time, I just had Facebook, and I only had like 250 followers, and I wasn't on very much. And my greatest fear in the whole entire world was being on camera. Like, I heard myself when I was a little girl recorded, and I was mortified. I was that teenager and little girl that would go and do the report, and I would be shaking and trembling the entire time. And there's no video in the world that's ever been recorded of me, because I always did this anytime I knew it took, until I did my first Facebook Live about 7 years ago. And the cave that you're afraid to enter holds your greatest treasure. So my work now has impacted, and my videos and a lot of my social media stuff is really my love offering. I have people randomly, that strangers, that were like, you've helped me so much. So if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have impacted the people. And even if you just having a joyful life where you just, your energy connects to the people that you meet at the grocery store and your immediate family. That is helping everybody in your world, and it expands like a ripple. And this is how, when you heal yourself, you heal humanity. When you heal yourself, you heal our world. Like, it's the most important thing to do. You know, I feel like people are like running, like, I don't want to heal, like, da da da. But what, like, what's more important? You know, even like, even I can speak as a mother. A lot of times we feel like, oh, I have to sacrifice this for my children, and I give so much, I want them to experience, and we give so much as mothers, and, you know, as fathers, and we're doing so much. But what we give to our children is not just what we give to them. What we give to them, our children, is who we be. Mm. And if who we be is a woman or a man who has not shed our old stories, who's not faced the emotions and the griefs and the stuff and done the transformation and followed our bliss, that's what we give to our children. So then they get to repeat the pattern, or they have to struggle through all the emotions that have not been solved. Because Dr. Bruce Lipton talks about this. He's proven, and now epigenetics is proving it like crazy, that disease is not because of the DNA. DNA is just a blueprint. It's actually the energy field. Wow. And the belief systems that creates the disease. So, you know, I think about like breast cancer. You always hear like, let's solve breast cancer. Let's do it. Well, breast cancer is a heart chakra disease. It's, you know, you can tell when you have something where, what chakra is affecting, right? You got something in the feet, like it's this lower chakras, right? If you got something in your head, these are your upper. So heart, it's heart chakra. So what is, I am guessing, for example, this is probably someone's, I'll say it for, we're talking about breast cancer. Let's say a woman, and this could be generations before, a woman whose heart is broken. Maybe the man she loves is mistreating her, not respecting her, and her heart's broken. And she's so busy giving of herself and raising her children that she doesn't feel like she can even grieve and feel the anger. So she shoves the heartbreak down. So eventually all that energy shows up and it manifests, for example, as a heart disease, right? Or a heart disease or a breast cancer, something heart related, right? The broken heart. And now it gets passed on, right? You know, heart disease gets passed on, breast cancers get, but this is a heart chakra thing. So this is how it gets passed on from generation to generation. So like the most important thing in the world, I feel, is to do your own healing. It's the greatest gift to yourself. And it's the greatest gift to those you love, and it's the greatest gift to the world. So that is why I'm so passionate about healing. And a lot of it is stuff from the ancestors. And we have walked away from all this time of this horrific stuff. And yes, there's still going to be some horrific stuff going on, and there still is. But I feel like a lot of it's the residue of the old ways and the old traumas. So I think as the years go on, I think we've entered the time they talked about, the time of peace, the time of the white buffalo they talked about in, like, you know, some of the northern indigenous peoples. And this is the time where we've entered, where we finally are safe to heal. Yeah. We're finally safe to unite. And it's important that we unite and we forgive and we heal. Because this body is not who I am. Your body is not who you are, right? We come from, we're spiritual beings that have chosen these bodies for whatever purpose, whatever experience, but we are spiritual beings, and we're connected with our hearts. And we are also keepers of this earth, right? We're not here to pollute our earth, to mistreat our animals, to continue what we've done with the magic of water, where you can't even drink it anymore, right? We have a responsibility to heal and then to do. And some of us are called, like, we all have a calling. Some of us are being called to go into the systems and change the systems, right? Some of us are the warriors, are going in to change. And some of us are just being called to show up every day with so much love and light that we become lighthouses that other people remember Oh my goodness, I forgot. Like I feel like, you know, so like just listen to it, make whatever makes you feel joyful is what you're being called to do. And when we all follow what we're being called to do, this is how we heal humanity.
You know, it's interesting because I went through a journey where I had major depression and I had to deal and heal a lot of things. And I never was really able to enjoy anything until after I went through that phase. And part of that was going through I had some psychedelic medicine and it brought up a lot of stuff for me. And I've always been interested in it. And it caused a lot of discomfort in me. It brought up a lot of pain, but I realized that, you know, I wanted to be a psychedelic integration therapist, and that's my passion. So it's interesting how like the fear and the things that bring us the most fear and pain are sometimes the things that we are kind of meant to do or we feel is our purpose. Because it was always like a fear of mine as well to try, but I felt, you know, called, and it's been a great way of, for me to, it brought up a lot of things. I was already struggling. It probably wasn't the best thing to do with me being in the state I was in, but at the end, it kind of like fast forward the process for me because I had to deal with so much. And it was I feel like it just condensed everything in a short period of time. And I feel like after all that, I have been finally able to just enjoy my life and not be so focused on, you know, what do I need to do? I need to do this, I need to do that. You know, I can finally be in the present moment. So I
So
relate to a lot with
the plant medicine really helped you dive into the root and the pain
and
and
be
what
in my
you
body, because I
need.
was always very dissociative. I was never really in my body until like 25. I got into yoga. I did, you know, that I had that medicine, and that's when I was finally able to be in my body. But going back into my body was actually very painful for me. It was uncomfortable. Like I didn't like being in my body, and it brought up so much emotion and pain. Like I felt pain in my chest. I had heart palpitations. So it was, you know, the stress, that the emotional stress. And like you said, it could have been other pain. It could have been ancestral. It could have been things I was carrying. But it was definitely a process that was needed because I wasn't really able to just be myself or just enjoy life. So,
I love that you had that experience. And when you have that experience, now it's freeing you up also to know what your bliss is and how, like, what your passion is that makes you feel joyful and how you serve others with what makes you feel good. Like you get to dream that it's allowed you to start dreaming in the world and to being for yourself.
yes. And one more question I have. I'm sure you have dream, you believe in dream symbols and you are into that. I always have dreams about eagles and hawks, and I'm curious to know, like, what does that symbolize? Has anyone
Well,
mentioned it earlier?
interesting because there is a prophecy in Latin, Central America that talks about when the eagle and the condor, which is a hawk, comes together, that's going to be a uniting of people and cultures. So eagle is about dreaming a new world into being, but you're seeing eagle and hawk. My intuitive feeling on that for you is that part of your process in this life is to unite people. You are also a uniter. And so, you know, that's kind of part of my journey is, you know, I've got a lot of mixed lineage and different cultures, and my father's of European descent. So, like, you know, it's about I am a uniter of humanity. But the eagle and condor come together. You're a uniter, and part of your purpose is to dream your world into being. And in doing so, it's kind of like you think about eagle goes to the top of the mountain, right? And from the top of the mountain, and a lot of times we can't get to the top of the mountain because if you get to the top of the mountain, if you ever climb to the top of the mountain and you have a big heavy backpack and you're carrying all this stuff, and it gets the higher you go, the higher the harder it is to carry that backpack. And eventually, you might even just be like, let me get rid of this back, or let me take some of the stuff off so I can get to the top. Well, a lot of us can't get to the top of the mountain because we have the backpack of all of our old stories. And a lot of times, we don't even have our old stories. We have all the lineages, all the stories of our lineage. So we're trying our best to get our life and do this stuff. But then we get to the top, almost to the top. And then this big, all the weight of all the lineage of all the stories and all the weight of all the unprocessed emotions and all the weight of not following, living your life for everybody else and not living your life for what is calling you. All that stuff comes and it pulls you back. And you can't get to the top of the mountain. You try and try, right? So when you let all that stuff go, you get to climb to the top of the mountain. And sister, when you climb to the top of the mountain, this is also what Eagle's telling you, you get to look around and you're like, wow, this view is something I can't imagine. And, you know, I live in Arizona, so I like to climb to the tops of the mountains. And
so beautiful.
When I go to the tops of mountains, there's something about the wind, you know, and I love to go to Sedona, but I don't need, like, even just going to the mountain that's close to me here, it's Pima Mountain, that's right in Phoenix. Like, you go up there and there's something at the top of the mountain about the wind, and the wind is blowing. And no matter how much I'm struggling with something, when I get to the top of the mountain and the air blowing and all this energy, it, like, I know in the bottom of my soul that everything's going to be okay. And so you get to that top and you get to dream a new world, to be in something that you wouldn't have even imagined dreaming when you were at the bottom of the mountain. Or even at the middle of the mountain, you get to the top, you're like, oh my goodness, you get to live a life that feels amazing, something that you might not even imagine right now, right?
Yeah.
You're climbing, like, and that is a gift to the world. So when you keep dreaming about that, that's my, that's some of the medicine for you. But I also invite you, sister, to ask yourself, because a lot of times we go to others and we say, what does this mean?
Yes, true.
Like, ask, maybe the next time you dream or after the dream, like, and journal about it, to ask, Eagle, what is your message for me? Hawk, what is your message for me? You might have a unique message from Eagle and Hawk that you've never read any place or that no one's ever told you before. So, you know, I invite you also just to listen, like, ask Hawk, ask Eagle, what do you have to teach me?
I'm going to do that.
You know, you could end up writing, like, having a whole stuff just around Eagle and Hawk medicine, and it can be your specialty. You know, we have these spirit animals that come to us. They have messages for us. And yes, it's lovely to find out, like, hey, bird, what do you think? Or look into the, you know, I've got this shaman book with the different spiritual meetings. And they have great things, but I always ask.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, what do you have? And, like, I know intuitively, and start listening to what your intuition's telling you, and allow Ego and Pop to teach you.
Well, thank you so much. I think my Zoom ends at 14 minutes, so I didn't want to make sure I get all of this, because it was such a pleasure to speak with you and get to meet you.
Yes, you too, sister. It was an honor.
Yes, we'll be in touch. And I guess before I close out, if you want to share where people can follow you, anything you want to share for those who will be listening.
Okay, yes, beautiful. I am very active on most of social media, usually at Bird Mejia, B-I-R-D, bird like a bird, and then Mejia is M-E-J-I-A. You could also go to birdmejia.com. There's 21 shamanic tools to help you now. I've got some, it's a free download you can receive there. I also, if you go to my website, I have not officially announced it on my social media, but I've created something called the Six Sun Collective, which is in the time of the Six Sun, there's a prophecy that the Rainbow Warriors would unite and essentially save the world, right? But the Rainbow Warrior is somebody that has healed their chakras, and their chakras are like a rainbow now. So I'm gathering together those that are committed, excited about healing. So it was going to look like people that have, if you want to offer services for others, and it's a membership, it's community, but also just those that just need healing, that have stuff that they want to heal. So I'm bringing it together, and I'm just birthing it right now. So
yes, I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, yeah. So you can check on my website, and there'll be a link when it's all going live. But yeah, the purpose is for us all. You know, what I'm creating is a community of trees, right? A lot of times we look at trees and we look at how they're individual and they stand strong, right? And this is what we've done as humans, modern humans, right? And I'll speak as a woman, especially like as a woman, like, you're strong, we're doing all this, and we're, but when it comes, like life comes and it just throws us down, right? The disease comes as we get older and it hits us, right? But if we look at trees, underneath the trees, the roots are going for miles and miles, and the root systems of the trees are supporting all the trees for miles and miles around, are supporting each other. And this is what humanity is missing, is us really supporting each other. A lot of us that are being called to serve others, we're doing it and we're giving so much, and we're missing a community that really supports us. And just the general public, like we feel, people feel alone. They feel lonely because we're not this community of supporting each other. So that's also what the Six Sun Collective is about. And then I also invite all of you just in your life to allow yourself to be vulnerable and to be supported and to find souls and people that you can create community with, and you can support each other, and to dive deep into your own healing. It's the greatest gift that you'll ever give yourself. And it's the greatest gift you will ever give those you love. And the bonus is that you help humanity, you help the earth, you help all of the little beautiful animals in the world, everything, by just you doing your work.
Love it. Thank you, sister. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day, guys.